You're a real estate investor in your 40s. What advice would you give to yourself in your 20s and 30s? Well, the women inside Investor came together and shared a lot of thoughts. So we're going to process it together with you.
Welcome to the Investor Podcast. I'm Liz Faircloth.
And I am your co-host, Andressa Gadelli. We're going to go over the top five, I guess, right, Liz? Who knows what's going to happen here? So let's start. The number one most frequent advice that was given is invest in yourself first. And that can go in so many directions, right, Liz? How do you interpret that?
I think the first thing that comes to my mind when I see, because you, not to go down too many rabbit holes, but you could say invest in yourself, but it didn't say invest in yourself. It said invest in yourself first. So I think first is the key word. And what that means to me is that women need to stop putting everyone else before themselves. Meaning, and that can look so many different ways, right? Andressa, you can be investing in your health, investing in your wealth, investing in your actual, you know, property, right? As we know in real estate, but it's really about putting your needs before others. And I really think that's probably something that many women do learn over decades versus, yep, I'm doing that in my 20s, 30s, 40s, and beyond. I think that's probably a hard lesson for women to learn because they tend to be the caretakers. They tend to be They're managing it all. So that's a big one. What does that mean to you?
I see it as a holistic approach. And I think they all go hand to hand. Many times I know for myself on my 20s and 30s, self-care was not a priority whatsoever. And my mental load started getting heavy and heavier as I got older. And now self-care, I believe right now is like my number one. So all the women on their 40s are telling the women in their 20s and 30s, don't wait until your 40s to adjust your mentality about how you take care of your body, mind, and soul, which will affect how you show up in the world, how you invest in real estate, and how you build a business. Sometimes we're like, well, I am in survival mode, so I need to do what I gotta do. And I think that we sacrifice a lot of our health in order to do that. And a lot, this was the number one recommendation for all the women. And I am totally on board. And I think that the word first, it is very bold, is unapologetic to investing myself first. Yes, I am the priority here in my household. I am responsible for my happiness. I come first. I asked my son another day that question. Who is the most important person in your life, Lorenzo? He's like, me. And I am like, who do you think is the most important person in my life? He said, you are the most important person in your life. Then second me, right? I was like, yes.
Of course.
I was like, yeah. But in a way that he doesn't feel like, oh my gosh, my mother does not put me on top. I want him to put himself first. And he is a white American privileged boy that I'm raising. And I want all the little girls from everywhere to feel the same way that he does. And all the women on their 20s and 30s and 40s that are listening to do the same. You are the most important person in your life. So you come first. So let's talk about the second one. This one. Somebody said, pick your spouse. Pick you the right spouse.
Right this was the key also, word.
You're right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Pick the right spouse. And this is also a business decision. And I think people underestimate the power of the spouse and how much it affects or not. And I'll put a pause over here, right? Did I think I picked the right spouse? Yes. Did it turn out right? No. It was so much involved that we're not going to go through it. But for all the women that are listening here, I don't want you to feel that because your marriage did not work, because you chose to live a healthy, abundant life, that this is a life sentence for you. You can continue bettering your decisions as you move forward. But I just want to say I completely agree, and I think that it makes it or break it your business. The spouse, it can hold you back or it can support you and propel you moving forward. And not every person that you are with, you need to do business with as well. And the most important thing that I would say before I pass the baton to Liz is, even if you are in a marriage, a healthy one, a toxic one, if you're in a toxic one, get the hell out. Become financially independent. I was together, we were independent. Individually, I was dependent, financially dependent. And that had forced me to stay in an unhealthy relationship for years. So I encourage all of you to take this with a grain of salt. Is that how you say it, Liz?
Mm-hmm. You got it.
You got it, right? Take that in consideration so you are not put in a position where you need to stay in a relationship because you are financially dependable.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And that really gets to why you think about the tradition of, not to get into the tradition of marriage and the tradition of why people come together, but you think about it historically. And we're breaking those barriers where in the past it was really to have children, to be taken care of, financial reasons, right? And I think women now more than ever are choosing not to get married, not to have children, because it's not a financial decision. It's a, is this person going to add value to my life decision? And I it's just really great to see that evolution. For me, back in my 20s, I remember very distinctly saying, I don't need a man to make me happy. I was very career oriented. And I also remember when Matt said, I love you to me, I was so nervous and overwhelmed by it because I was like, is he going to hold me back? Is this relationship, because I didn't really want kids, honestly. I do have kids now, but I at the time didn't want children. So I needed to be with someone who there was the value, right? We were going to build something together, or there was something deeper here, or I'm good single. That's really how my way of being. I shouldn't have told Matt that I didn't need him. That's another conversation for another day, because that's probably not the most effective thing to say to your spouse or someone you're dating. However, what I think in terms of picking the right spouse, something that was very evident to me that helped me to say, okay, this is someone I want to spend my life with, was that we were having conversations about what our life looked like in 20 years, one of our first dates. And it wasn't about the children or the money. It was really about what did we want to create in our lives. And so what at the time we were seeing is what I'm seeing for my life and what you're seeing, is there almost like a overlap? Is there something that's overlapped that we can do together? And so that to me was the, okay, this is someone special I can really create a life with versus everything else. And obviously business, and we started investing together early on before we were married, bought our first duplex. So the right spouse is a really big one. I don't think it's necessary for everyone, but I think for those who want to be in a relationship and choose that, it's beyond the money or the kind of traditional generational baggage that we've been given as women. It's more about the idea of, is this someone I want to grow with, expand with, create a life with? And so those check marks were for me at the time, and 20 years later, we're celebrating our 20th in the fall. We've continued, but it takes work. It's not given. It takes a lot of work.
I have a curveball.
Okay.
So for the women that are listening and they are in the back of their head, maybe not out loud, yet, but in the back of my of their head, they are thinking, I know for sure he is holding me back.
Mm.
And this week we have talked a lot about realignment conversations. So for the women that are listening and have that certainty, they still love their partners. They cherish their relationship. They have built a family, right? But in the back of her head, she has this thing about, he's holding me back right now. Is this a time of a realignment conversation? Does she need to send him a Zoom call link for to get in touch to realign?
Yeah, that's a big question, because then my next thought or my next approach is, how long have you been feeling this way? And so often realignment can get aligned when it's a couple things to connect with or a couple things to work through. When you have a 10-year history of feeling like you're held back, and there was probably 100 conversations that you haven't had, that's a different story, right? So at what level, I would say, would be my first kind of analysis of that, because you might need to have more than one realignment conversation. I do think that that is a first step forward, because often we assume people are holding us back when we maybe haven't shared, right, what's coming up for us or what we see for the future. I was talking to a friend the other day, and she said, you know, my husband is quite older than me, and I'm almost like wanting to start a new business, and he's actually slowing down. So how do we have this? We talked a bit about having a realignment conversation, if you will, but she's been feeling this way for a couple of years. So it's built up. It's emotionally charged. And so I think the first thing to really look at is, what do you want? And before you have a realignment conversation, right, Anjessa, the key is, what do you want? What's coming up for you? We always like to say that, like, what's coming up for you? Get really clear, because it's hard to have a realignment conversation, or one of many, if you're not clear for yourself. And don't assume this person is going to say this or that. Obviously, that's hard, right? When you have a spouse or a partner, we have a listening of that person we have to be mindful of. So get clear for yourself and then start having those conversations.
And one thing that I learned from you and Matt is that you guys take time to have those conversations. It's not like in between a meal and say, hey, can you take the trash out? And by the way, I have a realignment conversation that I have to have with you right now.
Yeah.
Right? You guys schedule the time to go away and to really get connected with one another and see what's working, what's not working, how can you guys move forward, and put yourself in a position of listening, of receiving the information versus feeling defensive, the need to feel defensive to save the ego and grow together. So I think that that's also something that I've learned from you guys that you consciously do in order to have those conversations. And for the women that are listening, if that's in the back of your head and that's not going away, it will not go away. I'm sorry to say that to you. You've got to verbalize, process it, and see it. If that's the real true, or if it's just a thought, or how can things be? And things are never as bad as we have inside our own head. You might be surprised with all the possibilities that can be created. But bring it to the front, from the back of your head to the front, to your mouth. I have held things in the past for years. And now I learned the skill set of having alignment calls. And I think that, you know, free up time inside my head. And that's what we want. We don't want things to live rent-free in our heads, especially those thoughts, right, about our spouse. I think that's crucial.
Something else real quick I want to share about that is when you plan getaways, and we do it quarterly, when you plan these getaways, it's not when shit has hit the fan and you've had a ton of breakdowns and you need to get away together. I think the key to growing together is having these weekends when you don't think you need to go away. Like, that's when you need to go away, meaning it's more proactive than reactive. And I think that then adds the, it creates the space to have the conversations. I didn't know what Matt was going to share with me of like, we always talk about our relationship and what's coming up. I didn't know what he was going to share with me. There's always something. If you're in a relationship with someone, there's always something to share. So I just say that because so many people do these things when like they have to, versus when you really don't think you need to go away is when you do need to go away. And that's why it's planned ahead of time. And it's just a kind of a quarterly getaway versus, wow, we really need to go away together. Now, that's when it's too late. That's when it's a little too late. So that would be my recommendation, is get it on the calendar. You know what I've learned from years of speaking? The right stage doesn't just amplify your message. It builds your credibility. It positions you as a leader people remember. So what sets the top 1% of entrepreneurs apart? Authority. And nothing builds faster than stepping onto the TEDx stage with over 43 million YouTube subscribers. It is the biggest platform for ideas that spread like wildfire. Leader is making this possible. They're the number one company helping people land TEDx talks with over 650 talks booked for their clients. Want in? Head over to leader.co/events to book your free TEDx strategy session. That's leader.co/events. They'll help you refine your message, create a custom plan, and as a bonus, they'll even guarantee your first 50,000 views. Again, that's leader.co/events, leader.co/events. Or even if you don't think you need to.
Awesome. The other advice that was given is to start investing now. And that means investing in real estate, investing in stocks, investing in your whole life insurance, different diversification of investing. And I believe, because not a long time ago, women were not allowed to have a credit card, open up a bank account, own a property. We are many times the first generation that get to do that. And we don't realize that we're catching up. And many of us feel like, oh, I should be way ahead, or I should have started investing in my 20s. I think that all the time. But think about it. I was born and raised in Brazil. My first credit card was at 26 years old. My family still think that credit cards are for people that don't have the cash to pay upfront. And I'm like, why are you even having cash? Don't. And when they take their debit card to pay, I'm like, put it back, for God's sake, right? Learn how to leverage credit card. And because you have the money to pay the credit card balance in full every single month, that's why you are going to be leveraging even more, so you can build miles, travel for free, and take advantage of all the benefits for it. And this is just credit card, right? And was I pissed that I pay my entire $75,000 master's degree here in the U.S. cash?
Wow.
Yes.
I didn't know you paid in cash.
It was in cash. I didn't own a credit card when I moved to the U.S.
Wow.
I didn't know better. So for all the women that are there, have grace with you. You just didn't know better. Now you do. Do something about it and go forward versus, oh, I should have done it. Well, the best next day for you to start investing is today. And no matter what age you are in, if you're in your 50s, 60s, and 40s, 30s, 20s, who cares? Start thinking, how can I invest considering my current situation versus, oh, I should. Now it's too late, or it's too early. Oh, now I have a child, maybe later, or when I quit my job. Or the very often advice given here is start investing today. So the word of this advice is today. We have a word for every single advice.
And
today.
I would say too, because you're investing today, and if this is the 40 something saying to the 20 something, the beautiful part about being in your 20s and 30s is time is on your side. Listen, I believe time is on your side to begin investing in your 40s, 50s, 60s. I think there's a different, but it's a different strategy. So the key for those, for the 20s and the 30s is to start doing something. And it really is independent of the amount of money and the exact strategy, in my opinion, because that's going to lead to a different decision, right? And Justin and I are doing different things than when we started investing. I mean, that'd be crazy if I'm doing the exact same type of investing as I was in my, when I was 27, right? Literally 20 years ago. I'm doing some of the principles are the same, but in terms of the exact strategy. So it's going to evolve regardless based on who you are and your financial goals. But just the act of doing something with a certain amount of money is going to build the confidence, regardless of it being a home run, right? It's just about taking, you know, hitting a single. Doing
and
something.
Take advantage of the compound effect, right? That is the key. The E-Myth and other books came again later on in life. I didn't know the word real estate. So for God's sake, you know what I'm saying? It would be great to know all of this on my early 20s, right? We wish. We all have different stories and we acknowledge that, but that is not your sentence, your dead sentence, right? So let's talk about something else here. Simple, very simple advice, but very often. I'm going to combine them, right? It's all about self-care here, but they were very specific about the advice. So they said, lift weights, take care of your teeth, check your hormones, and drink water. So it's very specific. And sometimes, like, of course, drink water. But now I'm thinking, like, I need to drink more water than I'm drinking now. And those are such basic needs. And then I'm thinking, the early 20s, I believe I can see the generation that I'm seeing now in their 20s, and maybe that's my perception. I feel that they are focused on more on the self-care that all of us on our 40s were not.
I would agree.
Maybe because they are not having children or not choosing to have children, so they have themselves.
They got some more time on their hands. I think there's a selflessness, though, right? It's not selfish.
Oh, one more here. Sunscreen. Some freaking screen, yes.
There's a level of, I've heard it, and they embody this selflessness. It's not selfish. It's being selfful. And I've always liked that distinction. And when you think about the basics, right, drinking water, checking your hormones, especially, you know, we have to worry a little more about that in our 40s than probably the 20 something. But, you know, the teeth, the lifting of the weights, these are basic things. But it's the basic things. It's the common sense. That's the common practice in our life, it which makes us put ourselves first. Back to the first one, you know, not just investing, but taking care of ourselves first. So as a runner, I really appreciate the lifting of the weights because I used to lift weights and then I kind of got away from it and now I'm getting back into it because it's so important and I know that. And it actually makes me feel really strong, you know, and all the dudes are kind of like right by the weights. I'm like, I kind of not push them aside, but I'm like sitting there all like lifting my 10 pounds, you know, I'm thinking I'm all that great. And they're like, but it's confidence too, right? It's not just for your mind, body, and soul. It's a confidence booster. So great advice, especially the sunscreen too. Forget that sometimes.
The last one here, it's all about boundaries and more towards the mental health. There is a lot of women saying like, you're not your strategies, set boundaries without feeling guilty about it. Go to therapy, heal a lot. A lot of women recommended it. And I think that the way that I see it as like mental load. All of those baggage that we have been carrying from our mothers, our grandmothers, our fathers, our grandfathers, our family, our culture, society, you name it, right? That we don't even realize, we're not even aware of it. And then we are running this script that has worked. And as we get older, that script does not work anymore. So I think the women on their 40s were shining the light for the women in their 20s and 30s to say, hey, be aware of those scripts and your family saying, oh, that's how we are in our family. Or, do you want to change? You want to evolve. You want to stand on your values and you want to evolve. And the most compliment somebody can say to you is that, oh, wow, you changed a lot. I cannot recognize you. Exactly, because I have done work on it. I worked a lot, right? Because we are healing, and that's how healed people look. They look unrecognizable. That's the goal. And I think we all embracing it. And the women were saying over and over again, stop apologizing it. Watch your language, how many times you say sorry and how you don't own who you are. Really like standing on your own power. And I thought that was beautiful.
I want to throw a curveball in that really quickly. Do you think there's a level that, as I think about people in their 20s, right? If I'm in my 20s, is it necessary for me to go through my 30s, my 40s to get that lesson? Or do you think setting boundaries is realistic for a 20-year-old? Or do they need to go through that so that they can then tell their 20-year-old self, set boundaries? I guess the question is, part of boundary setting is not having the boundaries. Learning, or is it just a lesson they need to learn and they can do it when they're younger?
Well, I think boundaries, the word boundaries, right? I didn't learn that.
You don't learn it.
I didn't even know. Yeah. Right? So I'm teaching my son now what boundaries look like. And sometimes he's taking a shower and he says, can I have some privacy? Absolutely. Let me close the door. That's a boundary.
Yeah.
I think it's a muscle. I feel many women and men, doesn't really matter, look at boundaries as something like, listen, this is my way or the highway. And I read something beautiful in there. I don't know if it was you, Liz, that wrote, or somebody else, that says the people that respect you and like you will buy into your boundaries and support your boundaries. The people that don't really care about you, don't have a deeper relationship, will look at that as like, oh my gosh, that's right. So I think boundaries is a new language that as early as possible to do it in different ways you can implement it as you go forward. I think for me, I learned that later on, and there was a guilt part of it. Oh, I'm going to tell them that if they arrive late, that's a deal breaker for me. But it is a boundary. And everybody around me knows that I value time so much that if you are late to a meeting to me, there is a higher perception that won't work for me. And that is a boundary. And I don't feel bad about it at all. It's all good. And I don't need to justify to people why I'm having certain boundaries. And I think that is just this conversation that we keep having it and normalizing having boundaries.
Normalizing.
So I think the surprise thing, I hope one day will be like when we find women that don't have boundaries. I'm like, what do you mean you don't?
What are your boundaries? You look like the odd person.
You will look like an odd person, yeah. Because we are creating this concept of we do have boundaries. We do go to therapy. We do take care of our mind, body, and soul. We invest in different types of asset classes. It's the same. I believe is the same language that the women inside InvestHer is talking about. At the same breath that they talk about different ways to invest in real estate, they are also talking about different types of self-care or what this new therapy session gave to them. It's very holistic approach. And I think it's just normalizing all of it, because women embodies all of this. It's a holistic approach, and it showed.
I like the idea of normalizing, because I think that's the piece, that when you're in your 20s and you haven't been taught anything about boundaries, which quite honestly, most women haven't, it normalizes it if they start to actually embody it, even in their 20s, right? 30s, even in their 40s, doesn't matter. And then it almost like creates this generational impact where Sammy, my daughter and my son, right? Same. They'll only know how to do this versus it being a weird concept. So it's a really good point.
Exactly. They will only know what taking responsibility means, what regulating their emotions means, what really setting goals and boundaries means. They will not know something else. And I think that that's the work that all of us are doing. And for all the women that are listening, pass this podcast to another woman that you like, trust, and respect. We want to create a community where we have a common language. And InvestHer is all about a holistic approach. You are growing your portfolio, you're growing your business, and you're growing yourself. That's why we are here. So share this podcast with all the women in your life that you like, trust, and respect that can also benefit from it. Thank you so much for listening. What's a pleasure.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this podcast and want to receive updates on our next interviews, go to our website, therealestateinvestor.com. There, you can subscribe to our show, become part of our InvestHer community, and get updates on upcoming episodes.
If you like our show, please share with other women who would benefit. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, we encourage you to take one action as a result of today's show and put it into motion so you can live both a financially free and balanced life. Thanks for spending time with us.
Ciao.